I can't hear myself.
You're on.
I can't even hear myself. You want
to... Yeah, you're on.
I can't hear myself. That's the gadget grill on.
That's an interesting question. Are you on? I'm not hearing you either.
Yeah, do you want to fix that?
Keep talking.
It's the gadget grill. If you can hear me, you're doing very well.
It's coming through.
Right, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Very confusing now. It's the gadget grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. Yeah, it's coming through. And it's really confusing because I can't hear myself. There we go. I can hear myself now. It's the gadget grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ for July. I'm buzzing there. On July 5th, 2009.
We do seem to have a problem with that microphone.
Yeah,
level.
It would appear so.
Okay, we'll deal with that in the next...
I'll head ever more closer to this thing. You're listening to the Gadget Grill, and if you can hear us, or hear me anyway, you're doing a lot better than I am. Here on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West.
Keep talking.
Right.
Yep.
On tonight's show, we are talking about, provided the mics work, Adobe. We're actually talking about Photoshop. This is our post-PMA wrap-up, where we spoke to someone who actually knew what they were on about at Adobe. And tonight we're talking about, he's talking about, basically, Photoshop for beginners. How...
You might need to get in to change mics, Kerry. He's not coming through.
Am I not coming through at all? Was that just dead air?
It's coming through, but very lightly.
Oh, great.
Keep talking.
Right. Can I switch to a different mic?
Well, that'll take a couple of seconds. Just play with that connector on the end.
There we go.
Right. Okay. So, should I repeat everything I said?
Start again, yes.
Right. You're listening to The Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. Apologies if anyone's heard this once before. I have too. We're playing around with some really bad mics tonight.
We have a cable problem.
We do have a big cable problem. Tonight on The Gadget Grill, we'll be talking about Adobe Photoshop. It's our post-PMA wrap-up where we've got someone who actually knows what they're on about talking about Photoshop for beginners.
It's obviously not us who's talking then.
No, well, I know what I'm on about. I mean, I write for APC about that sort of thing, so it's expected that I know what I'm on about, but you're probably sick and tired of hearing me despite the fact that for the past 3 minutes you didn't. So we'll get someone else in. We've got a guy from Adobe named Michael Stoddard who really knows his stuff.
He
really knows his stuff. We've got him on the show, but we pre-recorded, obviously, because if he were in here, he'd have as much problems with the mics as I'm having.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, my God.
By the way,
yeah.
Welcome to the Gadget Grill for the 5th of July. My name is Gary Stark, and introducing the show today was Lee Stark.
The very silent Lee Stark, if you couldn't hear me. It's a shame that, you know, we've had to repeat everything twice.
Again.
Because the mics just don't appear to like me tonight, which is probably fair. I mean...
No, I don't think it's anything personal.
No, it's not. They've got the flu. The mics have come down with the flu, just like a lot of the other people at the station.
Yeah.
So we've got that. We've also got some great music, with the exception of, well, actually, I think the first track's great, but you don't.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
Right. And we've also got some really cool news coming up. There's some really cool stuff happening with USB and batteries, which I bet you my dad doesn't. My dad's Gary Stark, the other one on the other side of this. Bet you don't even know what's happening with USB. And it was not actually. I don't think it's with USB. It's a new clip for batteries. We'll talk about it later on.
Okay, we can talk about that later
on.
We shall.
Do we have to do some more testing while the radio plays some music?
Well, the radio's not going to play any music. The computer is.
Right.
But your microphone's working fine. My microphone is working fine. We have a little bit of crossfeed coming in. Unfortunately, it's from what I hear, it's just more than just a little bit. Sadly, so those people who are listening on the air and on the internet, I'm afraid there's not much we can do about that.
But if you listen to the other show, if you're for some reason able to localize where it's from, that'll help us because we're on the show, we can't actually track down and, you know, work out exactly where it's from. We're trying to work out what station it is that we're cross-feeding, aren't we?
We think we have identified the station, but we haven't identified why we're picking them up.
It's weird. Anyway, the podcast of the show later on won't have it. We come directly off the feed, or our feed mix, so, well, yeah, something.
Lee doesn't have a clue what he's saying, but that worry
a clue.
You.
In any case, let's get started with the first song. In honor of Michael Jackson, not his death. I was about to say in honor of Michael Jackson's death.
In memoriam.
In memoriam of Michael Jackson's death, because the honor would certainly be come out horribly wrong. Here's a track which is great called Leave Me Alone. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, and hey, my mic works!
Yes, it does.
How cool is that? We're having the occasional glitch here, as you might have just noticed if you heard one of the ads a second ago. You're listening to the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. If you're listening to us on your radio, and you for some reason turned the stereo up just then, because you couldn't hear me, and then got... you know, deafened by how loud I suddenly was, my apologies. Listen to it on the web and you probably won't have to suffer through the same ordeals. And you can listen to it at www.radio2rdj.com. I'm stuttering tonight.
Yes.
I'm just echoing because of the extra thing. And likewise, if you want to hear the radio show in its entirety, including that botched introduction, you can head to the website later on at www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now, we've got some news.
We have indeed. How about when you pay $2,000 for going to a tech ed conference? You'd like to have a nice toy to take away with you?
It depends. I mean, $2,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah, you pay that to just go and get all the knowledge, of course.
I'll pay that to go to New York.
Yeah. Microsoft's tech ed conference later on this year, they're giving you an HP Mini 2140.
Wow, that's not okay. I'll be honest, it's not a great netbook. In fact, it's got quite a few flaws, but not to mention the screen being kind of wonky. But still, not a bad little bonus.
Not a bad little giveaway.
Yeah.
Now they're actually giving you a choice. You can keep the netbook if you want to, or you have the choice if you wish to give it back to Microsoft and allow the netbook to be given to a needy institution.
That's a good idea. I thought for a second there they were going to say you give it back and you get the choice between a mystery box. What's in the mystery box?
An Apple iPhone.
Cool, I take that.
Which, of course, you can now buy unlocked from Apple
themselves.
Store.
Exactly, yes. And Apple are, you know, because we always have Apple news, that seems to be the one constant of the radio show, aside for glitches and rants. Apple, this week, we are seeing patent applications of the possibility of haptic screens and fingerprint ID on the next iPhone.
So the fingerprints that you leave on the screen will...
yeah, basically.
will let you log
what a
in.
Fantastic way of stealing your friend's information. Hi, don't just grab this for a second, will you? No, it's looking at the possibility of a screen with that's multi-touch with tactile feedback, so haptics.
Yep.
The same sort of thing with an RFID embedded in the touchscreen.
Excellent.
That's kind of cool, but it's not here now. So, you know, people just deal with your iPhone 3s and 3GSs now.
Right. On July the 17th, of course, 3 are going to be announcing, that's the availability of their iPhone.
Mm.
But 3 also, anyone who's a mobile broadband customer of 3 is entitled to get a free 12-month subscription to AVG Internet Security.
Does that mean you can get a free AVG Internet subscription?
Yes, it does.
Wow. It's a shame that we use Norton.
Yeah. But I could use that on...
AVG's not bad.
AVG's like, very good.
It's okay stuff.
Yeah. So
that's not a nice gesture.
That is free if you're an...
Mac users, ignore.
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, yeah. Anyway.
All my news so far is free giveaways.
That's pretty really cool. Yeah, you just keep rolling in the goods.
What else have I got?
Hold on a second. Because I've got big... big news.
Okay.
So big it deserves its own planet, or at least asteroid.
Okay, in that case I've got my next story.
Alright, fine. Because Universal, the company behind so many movies, I just can't name any off the top of my head because I'm an idiot, have won a bidding war, I'm not kidding, to Atari's little known game, Asteroid. Seriously, it's one of the biggest games of all time, and you could never imagine a movie out of Asteroids, a game that you kind of, you know, you flew a tiny spaceship on a black screen and shot asteroids.
Bigger than big.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest games, and yet for some reason, that doesn't sound like it would make a great movie. You can almost match any modern science fiction movie to Asteroids and make a movie out of it, you know?
Okay.
It does... I mean...
You can tell that I'm really... underwhelmed, can't you?
Look, the fact that you don't like video game movies is one thing. I mean, no one likes video game movies. They very rarely are good. I think I can name No, none, yeah.
Okay.
None that are good.
You can Doom, count them on zero fingers.
That's right. Doom got close because it at least had a scene that was decent. They are making a movie out of another game called Uncharted, which is an Indiana Jones-style game, and that was kind of cool, but the game itself was good enough. It didn't need a movie. So Asteroids, he's hoping it's not a piece of crap.
While we're on the subject of bigger than big and out-of-this-world happenings, NASA's six-wheeled Martian robot Spirit is bogged.
Well, who's Spirit?
Their six-wheel robot has been stuck fast, sunk to its axles in deep dust for 2 months.
You know what the problem is? They obviously didn't hire Wally.
Well, they didn't get Wally, and that's a bit far for the NRMA to call, I believe.
Exactly. AAA don't exactly deal that either.
To help it escape, engineers at NASA Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena, they've created a sandbox.
Okay.
Sorry, a sandbox replica of a scene.
They've created a sandbox for the children to play in.
Yes. On the Red Planet with a full-scale rover model. This could be a fun sandpit to play in, actually.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, if only IKEA could create a ballroom just like that.
I know. Our objective is to make it as Mars-like as possible.
So they have to put the face of God somewhere on that, don't they?
Yeah. They're trying to send radio commands to this one to try. They've put sand in it, a mixture of all sorts of different sand, to try and make it like the sand on Mars in which the thing is bogged, and they've gotten it bogged, and now they're trying to get the. They've got two of them bogged, basically.
Right, that's wonderful. So that was a disaster for NASA, I take it.
Yes.
All right. So, speaking of disasters, there have been quite a few airplane disasters of recent. A new airline safety regulation is actually going into effect soon. Currently, airplane seats are only required to survive 9 Gs, which, when you think about it, is a lot of impact.
Yes.
The force of what? Gravity? 9 times. That's a lot of impact. The body in sitting in that chair won't quite do that. Well, the new regulations say they have to survive 16 times.
That's almost double.
It's almost double. And
which would mean it's probably quadruple the amount of rigidity that they need.
Well, it's going into an effect on all planes by October 27th. That's when it actually starts. All planes will be required to do this. Interestingly, some are sporting airbags. Now, you have to wonder, because as a plane starts to crash, the one thing that's not going to help you is a cushion of air. I mean, I'd love for it too, but unless that cushion of air happens to be a flotation device at the same time, which quite possibly it could be.
I don't think you've seen this yet, the new Air New Zealand safety messages.
No.
They've done them with people who are Air New Zealand flight staff wearing body paint and nothing else.
Cool.
strategic camera locations.
Of course, yes.
And very well done.
Okay.
It is, you know, sort of, it's actually doing the viral network on the internet.
Google Air New Zealand safety ads.
Do that and you will find it. It's on YouTube.
You got something else there, haven't you?
I've got something else here. Hewlett Packard. They've been wrapped over the knuckles by the consumer watchdog. They've had more than 190 complaints about about sales of personal computers and printers and the cashback rebate schemes that they have.
Oh?
They're supposed to do a rebate in approximately 75 calendar days, they say.
Okay.
And after a year, people still haven't received their cashback.
Wow, what a bad reason to buy an HP. Obviously, a bad reason to buy any computer is to getting money back on it.
I'd rather just keep the money myself.
Yeah, indeed. Interestingly, Dell have also been wrapped over the knuckles in Taiwan because Dell accidentally advertised on their website a monitor for about $15. It's not worth. It's a 19-inch monitor that costs a little bit more than $15 to make and sell.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had 26,000 orders, which actually rounded up to 140,000 monitors.
That's a lot of monitors.
Now, the normal procedure of something like this, just like most Australian companies, is to send out an email saying, I'm sorry, that was a mistake, the actual price is this, would you like to buy it still? Unfortunately for Dell, the Taiwanese government has sort of stepped in and said, you will have to compensate consumers or there will be legal action. And for what it's worth, the amount that Dell would actually have had to spend or lose in this would have been $20 million.
That's interesting because I, many years ago, had a problem with...
you have lots of problems. Let's just put this forward.
No. With ordering product from Dell, from their website, and They told me that the product was in stock, and as soon as the order was placed, it was on back order with no ETA.
That was one of the first USB keys, if I remember.
That is correct. It was before USB keys were even available in Australia.
64 meg.
32 meg.
Was it 32 meg?
32 megabyte. The latest one that I have...
Yes, 32 gigabyte.
32 gigabyte.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Well, Dell actually have issued a $30 coupon for every monitor purchase. So if you happen to order... 50, you did pretty well. There's actually, I've got...
What happens if you cancel your order?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't actually know. I don't have that sort of information on me. Energizer have something interesting, though. Energizer have a new battery clip. It's a charging device that looks a bit like a nipple clamp. No, that's sorry, the wrong thing.
That hurts.
Yeah, it actually looks more like... what's that called? An alligator clip, I guess?
An alligator
clip. It's a very flat alligator clip with a couple prongs on it. And the back end of this, it's designed to stick on your keyring, is a USB plug. Now, what you're supposed to do is attach this to a camcorder battery or a battery from a DSLR or some sort of digital camera. You know, ones that have the three prongs on the back or the three jumper bits, the little metal things? Yeah, you attach it to that and then you plug into USB and now you can charge your batteries on the go without your battery charger.
Okay. On the subject of battery chargers, the European Union and major manufacturers have reached an agreement to adopt universal chargers for mobile phones.
Oh, finally. God, because I am so sick and tired of having this ridiculous amount of phone chargers in the world.
Yeah. The idea was that by 2012, participants would use a 4-star or better charger that's supposed to be up to 3 times more efficient than conventional chargers, and the chargers would use a standard micro USB connector, making chargers and phones interoperable regardless of the manufacturer. That's actually been sped up and it's now going to be in place next year.
So is it micro USB?
Micro USB.
Cool. I'm good for that. So are they saying this is Europe only specifically? I'm guessing.
Europe only, but Apple are included as well.
That's kind of weird. How are they going to get away with that on the Apple dock?
They're going to have to provide a USB to micro USB adapter, it would seem.
That's okay. That's not so bad. That's not exactly hard. At least it's good. One final thing, a little video game news. Sony have already been asked by Activision, one of the world's largest video game companies, to make their PS3, their PlayStation 3, lower in price. It's still $700 roughly in Australia. Another company, Tecmo, one of the Japanese ones, have gone on to say the same thing. Hey, guess what? I'm not anyone important. I'm just Lee Stark from the Gadget Grill. But guess what, Sony? I can't afford one either. Make it cheaper. It's really wrong and stupid to offer a video game system for $700. Yeah, and make a lot of other stuff cheaper and start providing better support. How about stuff like that? That'd be kind of cool. What, do you have any requests of Sony while we're at it?
You don't want to know.
Probably
I believe it's the 30th birthday of the...
of the Walkman?
The Walkman.
Wow, I answered that for you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's fitting that we have the next song, you know, is about that sort of tech. It's not really about the technology, is it?
Well, yes, it is.
Well, this is new... No, it's not. This is New Order with Crystal.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. We've already discussed before what the Outer West is, so we're definitely the voice of the Inner West. We've got a GPS to prove it. And right now, we're going... Sorry, I'm making my dad laugh.
Can I go home now?
No, you definitely can't, because you're the only one controlling this thing. I damn sure aren't.
God, with me in control, we're in deep...
Well, that's why we have the GPS, to make sure. Right now, we're going to talk to someone else other than us, because while we were at PMA, we spoke to a guy named Michael Stoddard, who is a Adobe Genius. I don't know what he actually does there. I didn't actually... Hold on. I've got his business card.
Neither does Michael, to be honest. Just because he got his business card doesn't mean you know what he does.
You know, the business card actually says for customer support on Adobe and tells you where to go, but he is the senior sales manager. And you know what surprised me?
As a sales manager, he actually knows his stuff.
That really surprised the hell out of me. Anyway, we spoke to him about... Well, as a lot of people know, Photoshop is becoming very prominent in everywhere. You're learning it in schools,
It's actually reached the status of being a generic product name, the same as Hoover. And
when you Photoshop something, you just modify an image. Yeah, yeah. So we spoke to him about how a lot of beginners can really get into it.
We've had a lot of the success with Lightroom coming up against that. Customers ask us, well, what should I use? And there's still that confusion, Lightroom or Photoshop Bridge. You know, what is that? And the elevated answer is Lightroom is a database that you can then have offline. And that someone who has an awareness of what that is, i.e., you know, got thousands of images and
it's a cataloging
it's
system.
It's a cataloging system. Whereas, of course, in Photoshop, they've got to be all available all the time. If you want in Bridge to use it, they've got to be online. Whereas Lightroom will allow you to put them all on your DVDs, and then when you want that image, it'll tell you what it is, and you go and get it and put it in. So it clearly breaks the link.
You might be able to settle this for me. When I was at an Adobe press conference, the briefing for CS4, I actually asked the people, you might have been there, which was better for raw processing, Photoshop or Lightroom? And I was told at the time, Lightroom was actually better for raw.
At the time, it definitely was, because it's taken us until even just, I think, now, in the last two Camera Raw updates, it's now the same code between the two. It's exactly the same thing. And even in Elements, just the mechanics of the plugin in Photoshop and Lightroom, how they we had two engineering releases, one for Photoshop, one for Lightroom, and they were sort of leapfrogging each other. They were always going to come together.
Yeah.
And it's the same now with Elements. You can use the Camera Raw in Elements. So the same, all three of our apps can use the same engine. The increased functionality is down to the app itself. So Elements uses the same Camera Raw engine to read RAW files, but you can only just read them in and perhaps change the exposure.
Minor tweaks as opposed to massive
just exposure. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, the question I have to ask is, you've got Lightroom. It's like, what product's good for me? Lightroom, Photoshop. I'm a Photoshop user. There's also Photoshop Elements.
Yes,
How do you weigh that up when you're looking at that? Because Photoshop Elements is basically Photoshop Lite.
There's an awful lot of power in Photoshop Elements.
Yes, there is.
That... more so than most Photoshop users would know about.
I won't admit it because I've only played with it once, and as a Photoshop user, I'm like, yeah, no, Photoshop's superior, I don't care.
But that's because your skill base is on getting the most out of Photoshop, and you can go further. I mean, you can obviously, Elements will stop. But where Elements stops and Photoshop starts is actually not together. There's a significant amount of overlap between that. So, you know, we have Photoshop Elements users that are doing stuff... right into the traditional realm of a Photoshop user, and in often cases that's enough. They'll go right to print on that, and obviously you can do it. The real difference is when you start up Photoshop, you've got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, Photoshop fires up and it's the empty canvas. You look at it and you go, what am I supposed to do here?
If you don't know what you're doing and you have no patience, you probably should best apply somewhere else.
That's right. Yeah. And there's somewhere else you should apply. These Elements, when you fire Elements up and it says it's task-based, it has what do you want to do, you know, capture, edit, or that. And the challenge previously was that Elements used its own terminology, because we thought, well, this is way back in version 3 and 4, you know, it would have things like make brighter, or, you know, and we realized that you can't take someone from Elements to full version of Photoshop if they have to relearn all the terminology.
Exactly.
And it's incumbent upon Adobe to use the right terminology, because exposure is the right word for exposure, no matter whether you're using Photoshop.com or Photoshop Extended. It's exposure, which is different to levels or curves, which you shouldn't use anyway, which is different to brightness and contrast. You know, it's a completely different thing. So the last couple of versions of Elements have been very much use the right term. You know, you're going to adjust the exposure, but we do it in a way that the software itself teaches you how to do it. So the underlying, and also the other thing too, of course, is we didn't want to have someone who was an Elements user have to relearn Photoshop. So they had, so in Elements now, it's layers, it's masking.
Really? Layers, yeah,
layers and Elements.
Wow.
Masking and Elements. And the same terminology and almost the same look and feel. It's a little simpler. The icons are a little friendlier, they're a little larger, they're a little bit more colour.
I noticed that the massive large pre on the front is like, wow, it's really different.
Yeah, yeah. So the difference between Elements and Photoshop is just a tightening or a dulling down of the software to enable the user to come to the fore. But you know, Photoshop Elements is the same engine under the hood, and you can move more. The idea, of course, is to move more seamlessly from Elements to Photoshop if you want.
Doesn't happen. Do people actually go? Because I mean, there's a price difference, obviously. In Premiere, Photoshop Elements is targeted at a beginner audience.
Yes.
And that's the thing. And obviously, Photoshop being more professional, and they're able to do a lot more. Do people make the jump?
Yeah, surprisingly, we do. We actually so much so that we have now an upgrade from Elements to full version of Photoshop.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's sort of like when Photoshop 5.5 existed and people made the jump from that.
And if you shop around, you'll find that you can go from Elements to Photoshop at a lesser total cost than buying Photoshop retail. I shouldn't say that, but yeah.
Well, no, of course you shouldn't. But one aspect of what you're saying there suggests to me then that whereas one might think that to run Elements, you're going to need to use less powerful hardware. What you're saying to me says that you're going to need to have a full, solid, underlying hardware engine to drive the software as well then.
I always believe that the best piece of hardware should go to the newest user. Unfortunately, it's always the other way around.
Of course.
And the reason why is because if you're learning, if something happens quickly and you go, uh-oh, and you undo and it undoes quickly,
You don't become frustrated.
Yeah. But if you have to wait for something and then you have to not sure, you get much more frustrated. Whereas someone who's expert knows what's going on and goes, I'll just give that the 10 seconds it's going to take to rasterize that.
I have that happen to me frequently, and everyone always sits there going, you did that so quickly. How'd you do that? It's like, just shrug my shoulders and, you know.
So, yes, I've always said to people, don't give your lowest end users the lowest end hardware if you can get away with it.
Yeah, don't run this on a Celeron with 1 gig of RAM.
Yeah, that's right.
Although that's something I'd actually ask, because strangely, as computers become more mainstream and as chips get lower, I mean, we see an Atom and the consumer ultra low voltages penetrating everywhere. I've noticed personally that even though I have a quad core, Photoshop and Premiere CS4 both take a massive hit because they require a lot of graphic power with the that side.
They take whatever power is available to them.
That's right.
Yes, if it's there, they'll use it.
Is Adobe doing anything to get around these sort of limitations put forth by the networks and the consumer?
Yeah. The Department of the New South Wales DET, we've just had a very successful deal with them. They're rolling out their Lenovo laptops,
netbooks.
Every single one of them has Photoshop Element on them. Yes, I believe so. Every single one has Photoshop Elements on them, and the performance is more than what they want.
That's
for their
pretty
work.
Amazing, considering they run an Atom.
Yes, it runs on an Atom. They're running Windows on an Atom.
And they're going to be getting Windows 7.
Windows 7 will come on it. So.
Yeah, with Windows 7... the release of that imminent.
Yeah.
All your software is going to be compatible with that.
There were issues with Vista at one point.
Yes. I have seen the press release. I'm not going to pre-announce that, but I don't foresee any problems with Windows 7.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That was Michael Stoddard from Adobe, a really nice guy. I could probably spend hours talking to him, being a Photoshop nut that I am.
I'm sure you could. One of the interesting things there, of course, was the upgrade path from Photoshop Elements to Photoshop the real one, and Michael letting slip that it's cheaper to buy Elements and then buy the real product.
Which is a great way of learning, especially when you consider that Photoshop Elements is the tool that beginners should learn on. I mean, beginners shouldn't start on Photoshop. Photoshop is, as you said, a blank canvas. It's very difficult, and if you haven't been in an environment like that before, it'll just completely blow your mind how complicated it is.
I know that it's way overkill for the stuff that, or for the way that I work as well when I'm doing it. Likewise,
most people.
Yeah. And, of course, the other product, of course, is Lightroom, which is a different product entirely. It lets you do photo editing, but it's a
small
database.
Small amounts. Yeah, it's mostly a photo gallery piece of software. If you've ever used, I think it's, what is it, Pixaria, or the one made by... Picasa. If you ever use Picasa by Google, it's very similar to that, except it's an advanced version of that. So it's a database where you can put your images and catalog them, but it also lets you do things like turn to monochrome images, make black and whites, make sepias, do small amounts of tweaking. It's designed for people who have a lot of images but don't want to do a whole lot to them. People who really like their images straight out of the camera.
Like me.
Like you.
People who work to get their images... out of the camera, no matter how crap they are.
You keep, yeah, actually, I was going to say you keep telling yourself that, but that's actually just about accurate. That's right. I'm actually trying to get in a copy of Elements for us to try, and so we can record some demo tutorial sort of things of, because just like all Photoshop things, there are things you should learn that we can teach you.
That would be good.
That would be good. Right now, we've got some Australian content for you. This is
Cat Empire
with Song for Elias? Elias, one of them.
Meant to meet you, but I couldn't stay. Till now, never knew how life tears you away. Now I wait for the springtime in Spain.
More people than ever are listening to community radio. That's because community radio holds a unique place in the Australian media landscape and is the leading producer of local content. The 2008 McNair Ingenuity Community Radio National Listener Survey results show that community radio is vital to ensure media diversity in Australia. So if you want to hear something you won't hear anywhere else, tune in to community radio.
For more information, go to cbonline.org.au or call 02 9310 299.
Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 radio.
You want to try that again?
No, I think you should. I think I'll screw that up again.
You're listening to the Gadget Grill here on 88.1 FM Radio 2RDJ on the internet, www.radio2rdj. Yeah, just cough into the microphone.
Absolutely.
Radio2rdj.com. And, of course, the Gadget Grill has its own website at www.gadgetgrill.com.au. That is where you will find all sorts of nonsense.
Occasionally there's a rant. There was a rant this week. It was a ranty article. It was actually more of an article.
Yeah.
Right now we're going to quickly talk about, because we don't have that much time left. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes?
Yeah,
roughly. We're going to talk about a gadget I've been playing with on the weekend called the Hector. It's a weird name for a gadget.
What the heck is a Hector?
You already know what a Hector is because you've seen quite a few. The Hector is a device for photographers. As we said, this is our post-PMA wrap-up. And it's a gadget.
Does that make it a PMS wrap-up?
No, it does not make it a premarital syndrome. It does not make it a premarital syndrome wrap-up. This gadget, it lets you plug into your camera live view, which means pretty much any modern digital SLR, D5000, Canon 5D Mark II, or things like that, and allow an off-site preview. Basically, it's a great idea if you've got a tripod and you need to set up a long shot and you want to have it elevated so far off the ground that you can't use it. Allows you to take pictures with it. I actually found it was really useful, and in a way has replaced my need for dependency of software that forces me to tether the camera to my computer.
Yes, it would be a replacement for that.
I was actually really surprised by how decent it was. I mean, I didn't... You know, you don't expect a device without a big brand on it to be this good, and it was surprisingly good.
It is quite innovative. Describe exactly what the functionality is.
The simple idea is that it's a remote for your camera. It's a very expensive remote for your camera.
It replaces the just a standard
replaces remote the cable camera. Release. You remember cable releases on your old cameras?
Yes.
It replaces that. Think of a cable release with a big screen, and in that screen, you can see what your camera is seeing. Now, there's a catch. Your camera obviously has to support the functionality. So if you look on the box or manual of your camera and you see the words live view on your camera, you're good to go.
Right.
So that's pretty much its requirement. That said, if you don't have live view, it still functions as a remote. And it still functions as the ability to see what your images put out, because it uses a stock standard video output that they all use, which is just basically a 2.5mm or 3.5mm jack. Like a headphone jack,
right,
that sends out video. So you can still use that, even if you've got a point-and-shoot, to look at your images, which is kind of cool. I guess what I would hope from my point of view would be an HDMI version of this, because the HDMI version, I can expect, is going to be more useful, especially on future cameras. A lot of cameras...
That would be a lot heavier on power consumption, though.
No, I don't think it would. That's the thing. HDMI isn't reliant on power, not on these devices.
The other question is, what benefit would you get using...
HDMI of a video. I don't think we're going to see video ports on cameras for much longer. I think that they're going to reduce the amount of stuff available, and we're only going to see them on high-end devices. And I think this would be useful on a lot of point-and-shoots as well, where you can bring it up high and just hold it up there, so you don't, you know, hold it up way above your head so you don't have to see it, but still use this to work out what you're shooting. I think this has more uses on just the SLR, and if it had an HDMI port in it, especially a mini HDMI, or even a converter just to go to that plug just to support video, I can see it being really beneficial.
Okay, I can see use for it too in, for instance, real estate applications where you could take an aerial shot of the property without actually hiring a plane.
Look, I wish I had a helicopter because I would so slot that in there. Anyway, that's it for the Gadget Grill. Next week we're talking about stuff. I don't know what we're talking about.
We're going to do Dry July.
We're doing Dry July. We're actually going to talk to the founder of Dry July next week. Actually, this week. We're going to talk to him this week and then show it to you next week. We'll play it to you next week. Because they've got a massive web community, and Dry July is a really cool little thing. I'm doing Dessertless July. No dessert for me for a month.
Okay.
Yeah. I've already started dreaming of chocolate and petal pops. It's driving me nuts.
There you go.
It's terrible. Anyway, we're going to leave you for the night. Dad, do you want to do the outro?
Okay, this is Abby Lincoln and Don't Explain. We'll be back next Sunday night, 9 o'clock on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
We will.
With the Gadget Grill. I am Gary Stark.
My name is Lee Stark.
We shall see you.
See you then. Have a good week, Australia. You're back.